Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. When God's people pray, He sometimes sends seasons of revival. This happened in Chicago long ago, and the awakening it caused even drew the attention of the media. Today, more on why, as a people, we need to pray without ceasing. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a six-part series on what happens when God comes to church, taken from 1 Thessalonians. Turn with us to chapter 5 as we learn more about how, when God comes, people will pray.
What about the city of Chicago? A newsman said here in Chicago, and this is the Chicago Daily Press. Now, I need to tell you that 15 years ago, I walked across the street to the Historical Society and spent a couple of afternoons looking at old microfilms of the newspapers here in the city of Chicago and what they had to say about the revival. And I wrote a little book on the topic, and I'm going to be reading from it, but I can't give you the title of the book because it is out of print, and I don't want anyone saying I need a copy. I have only about 5 or 6 left. I hope that someday I'll enlarge it and have it reprinted. But across the street in the Historical Society, here's a quote, and then I'll give you some others. It says, writing from a news point, this is the Chicago Daily Press, 8 newspapers in those days, 2 of them in German, by the way. It says, writing from a news point, the prominent topic of thought and conversation in Chicago, in our streets, in our places of business, and in our homes, is the subject of the religious awakening now in progress in this community, and it is all-absorbing. It is upon the lips of Christians and of unbelievers. There are no scoffers, few who sneer publicly and openly at what is transpiring without excitement, without noise, and cannot be called fanaticism. The remarkable thing about this revival is it had no great leader, no Finney, no Edwards, no Whitfield. It was known as the businessman's revival because it was led oftentimes by a pastor. The prayer time was led by a pastor. But generally speaking, anyone could lead it. So it had no great names attached to it. And therefore, there was very little criticism of it. Now, let's look at the newspapers. This is what I discovered across the street at the Historical Society. This is the Chicago Tribune of March 25th, 1858. The noon prayer meeting at Metropolitan Hall. I have to pause here. I wanted to go to Metropolitan Hall to see where these prayer meetings were held day after day after day at noon, where people could not get in. And I discovered it no longer exists today. It's across the street from the Thompson Center. And there's a different building there now. But some of us, 5 or 6 of us, actually went there anyway. We said, we want to be approximately where the Metropolitan Hall once was. Now listen. It was the largest and most interesting that has yet been held. The body of the house, the gallery, were filled considerably before 12 noon, and at the time for beginning the exercises, the platform, the stairways, the aisles, the entry, were all occupied by persons standing up. During the whole hour, the stairs leading down to the streets were filled with persons arriving or retiring, unable to gain entrance for a noon prayer meeting that took place every single workday. In fact, I'm sorry I didn't get the quote, but when I was reading it over in the Historical Society, I discovered that one newspaper said that if women wouldn't wear skirts with hoops, I hope that that's the right word, I didn't check on this before, more people could get into Metropolitan Hall to pray. John Wentworth, the mayor of Chicago at the time, stood near the rear of the hall and listened with great attention to all, and later said, "The effect of the present religious movement are to be felt in every phase of society." That is in Chicago newspapers. Someone else says it was the perfect union of all evangelical churches. The Chicago Daily Journal of March 20th, 1858 reported that the revival was universal and not limited to a single city or even state, but is spread like fire in every direction. Such an outpouring of religion has not been seen since before the days of Edwards. That happened here in the city of Chicago. And what took place is in May of the year, 1859, the prayer meetings disbanded, but they went into the churches. The estimate was that 1,800 people were meeting for prayer at noon, and 5,000 in various churches were meeting for prayer in the evening. Now let's do the math. Let's remember our chronology. In 1856, D.L. Moody came to the city of Chicago. That's 2 years before the awakening. One of his biographers said that it was this awakening that thrust D.L. Moody into his revival ministry. D.L. Moody, of course, he rented pews in the Plymouth Church, and they kicked him out because they said that these boys that you're bringing in are so rowdy. So he had to begin his own church. But he says to his mother during this great awakening, "There is a great revival of religion in this city. I go to meeting every night." Remember, D.L. Moody's English needed a little bit of help. It is said that he was able to pronounce the word Mesopotamia in one syllable. All right? "There is a great revival of religion in the city. I go to meeting every night. Oh, how I enjoy it. It seems as if God himself is present. Oh, mother, pray for us. Pray that this will go on until every knee is bowed." And so it is that D.L. Moody received his thrust into ministry through this great awakening, this prayer revival that took place here in the city of Chicago. And D.L. Moody then began a church called the Illinois Street Church. This is the fourth location of the Moody Church since 1864 when it was founded. So you have the first one is the Illinois Street. The second one is a tabernacle at Ontario and Wells, which no longer exists. And that was used almost as a clearinghouse to help all the people as a result of the fire. Then you have a church where Moody Bible Institute is today. We have pictures of it. A large church held about 1,500 people, and it had to be torn down when LaSalle Street was widened. And by the way, widening LaSalle Street eventually also affected this building, but that's another story. And then you have them coming 1 mile north of Moody Bible Institute, and that's why we are here today. But all of that as a result of the Great Awakening, when God was doing unusual things in the city of Chicago, when people were crying up to God and multitudes were converted. You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, how big was the impact of this revival? It was huge. A secular historian called it the event of the century. The historian J. Edward Orr wrote, because this went to California and Portland, Oregon, and Denver, and all over. Look at this paragraph. "The influence of the awakening was felt everywhere in the nation. It first captured the great cities, but it also spread through every town and village and country and hamlet. It swamped schools and colleges. It affected all classes without respect to condition. There was no fanaticism. There was a remarkable unanimity of approval among religious and secular observers alike, with scarcely a critical voice heard anywhere. It seemed to many that the fruits of Pentecost had been repeated. Hundreds of thousands of people were converted during the period of about 2 or 3 years." God sometimes uses visible people, and he did in the first two great awakenings, but this awakening was a movement of the Holy Spirit of God. It was a prayer movement. What are some of the characteristics when God comes to town? What are the distinguishing marks? First of all, you have a strong awareness of the presence of God. Like D.L. Moody wrote to his mother, "It seems as if God himself were present." My prayer often for the Moody Church is that when people come into this sanctuary, I pray that they may have an awareness of God. I want you to leave today saying, surely God is in that place. An awareness of God. Secondly, along with that, of course, is deep conviction of sin. Deep conviction of sin. There were people during these awakenings who could scarcely function. They could scarcely do their business because so heavy was that sense of conviction over issues in their life that they had not dealt with. You say, well, revival must be a very, very sad time. No, it's a very, very happy time. Because once they were able to get beyond that and not only to understand their sin, but the marvels of God's grace and confess what God brought to their attention and got their personal relationship straightened out between members of the family, members in business, and asked one another's forgiveness. Once all that began to happen, the indisputable mark of the work of the Holy Spirit is always joy. And that overflowed. Revivals unite and they divide. They unite true believers, but they also divide us from the world. You say, well, can we insist on a revival? No, I don't think we can insist. It's not as if God has to give us one. But I always say, let's set the sails in such a way that we can catch the breeze of what God wants to do. What if God wanted to do this in Chicago again? It might look very differently than it did in the past. But isn't God God? Can't we trust Him to do it again? Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and if God does not do this again in a huge way with many people, He can do it with you and with me. Revival begins in our hearts individually, and then it spills over to others. You know, I'm holding in my hands a letter from someone who has written to us and says, I have dealt with a series of spiritual attacks that no one knew I ever had. After listening to you, I was able to close the gateways by which Satan was gaining access into my life. And then he goes on to say that he gives God the glory for delivering him and using our ministry in a time of his need. Why do I share that with you? Because that is your testimony too, especially if you are a partner of Running to Win. Would you consider becoming what we call an endurance partner? That's someone who stands with us regularly with their prayers and their gifts. Of course, the amount that you give is entirely your discretion. But here's what you can do, and I sure hope that you have a pen or pencil handy. At least investigate becoming an endurance partner. Go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Of course, offerrtw is all one word. offerrtw.com, or pick up the phone and call us at 1-800-215-5001. Once again, that contact info, offerrtw.com. Click on the Endurance Partner button. You can do that right now.
Today, Erwin Lutzer brought more of People Will Pray from a series on what happens when God comes to church. Next time, more on the revival that swept Chicago. Running to Win is all about helping you find God's roadmap for your race of life. When God Comes to Church can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. For Pastor Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.